I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Jonathan Yates. He's the conductor of the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra, and you have got such an exciting performance coming up on Saturday, February 23rd at the Norwalk Concert Hall, a concert version of West Side Story, and I'm just so excited to jump in and talk to you about this.
Me too, Kate. I'm thrilled about this performance, and I'm super thrilled always to get to chat with you about
I'm really excited about it because there's just nothing like this going on right now. And so I guess, you know, maybe a little backstory would be great. I mean, how did you settle on this performance?
Well, so, you know, it was a sort of a confluence of ideas and events. We've done some really successful concert stagings of operas before. And we'd also done a little bit of Broadway, and it just seemed natural that we should actually try a concert staging of a musical. And you know, you got to start with the best. And
sure,
for me, the great American musical is really West Side Story. You know, it's just, it's so unique in terms of the sophistication of the score, the melding of the score with Sondheim's lyrics as well. It's just, it really sort of, to me, stands apart from all other musicals. And it's, they just have actually started letting people present it in concert.
Oh wow!
It's a recent phenomenon. What happened is Michael Tilson Thomas, the conductor of the San Francisco Symphony and a protege of Bernstein's, went to the Bernstein family and said, "You know, it's really a shame that you can only do this, you know, with a pit and
right
in that kind of version. It would be so great to see it with a big orchestra up on stage." And so, they created a specific version just for concerts, and it's only been around for a few years, and only actually you have to apply to the Bernstein Foundation to get approval, and we did.
Wow.
And we're so excited. It's a thrilling opportunity.
Yeah, I'll bet. So what are some of the changes that had to be made to either do minimal choreography or in some cases not any choreography at all? I mean, how is that going to work?
Right. So it's really, you know, it becomes an experience about the music,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's some light blocking, some light staging, but you really just get a chance to enjoy this really revolutionary score, you know. I mean, the more I study the score, the more it stuns me, right? You have to remember that it was written, you know, a year after My Fair Lady.
Mm-hmm.
It was written the same year as The Music Man. You know what I mean? And it is a totally different world, right? You know,
so different, in fact, that I read it got kind of snubbed at the Tonys.
It did.
Because it wasn't very accessible.
That's
and
right.
So all the awards went to The Music Man.
The Music Man. Exactly. I mean, look, I have nothing against The Music Man. It's a great show. But it's just this totally, you know, this is one of those moments where a work really just changes the fundamental direction of where an art form is going. You know, that just, again, that complete melding of book and dance and lyric and score and just, again, the level of sophistication involved. I mean, there's just so much more of it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Because of all the dance. And you know, Bernstein is pulling from modern music. He's pulling from the music of the street. He's pulling from, you know, from so much. And now, it was really only when it was finally made into a movie that it became this worldwide phenomenon. But I think a lot of people now really acknowledge that it's kind of the definitive American musical if they have to pick one.
Yeah, and it really kind of spans so many genres too, classical too, because there are the symphonic dances that, you know, we play regularly on top
of
WSHU, and they've kind of been folded into the canon of classical music. So in a way, I don't even think of it as a musical. It's just this incredible piece of theater and music blended together.
Right, absolutely.
And the way that Bernstein used Sondheim's lyrics, it's so natural. I mean, there are plenty of great lyricists and composers, you know, Rodgers and Hart and the Gershwins, but this collaboration between Bernstein and Sondheim was just like genius.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a walk away from that sort of the book musical, you know what I mean? Where there's like a bunch of narrative and then a song and then a bunch more narrative and then a song. It's much more seamlessly integrated. You know, there's so much, there's so much more music.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, it's an art piece mm-hmm. in a way, except at the same time, it's super popular because it's so engaging, you know? And it broke so many barriers. And you're right, it, at the time, not everybody was ready for it. I mean, both because of the sophistication of the score and the subject matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, people weren't used to, you know, gang toughs in Broadway musical theater. They weren't used to the leads dying violently on stage in musical theater. You know what I mean? Musical theater was a lighter form. And this is something entirely apart.
Well, I came upon a really interesting fact that Natalie Wood was so happy to be cast as Maria, and she worked really hard on her accent, and she was promised that she'd be able to sing, too, that her voice would be used on the soundtrack. And then she saw how difficult the songs were, and thank goodness Marnie Nixon could cover for her. But what are some of the challenges for the singers with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a complex score, both for the instrumentalists and the singers, you know. And there's this lovely letter from Bernstein to his wife Felicia, and he's talking about Something's Coming, which is Tony's introductory song. And he wrote her, he said, you know, it's Jerome Robbins wanted me to write something to really introduce his character and his feel. And, you know, he said, I tried to make sort of a traditional patter song, and I keep throwing in complicating factors, new meters. He said, I just can't help myself, you know, as I am. And that's the nature of it. I mean, it's just all this stuff that we associate with, you know, composers like, again, Stravinsky and Bartok, all these like polyrhythms and mixed meter. It's all in there. And yet it's so seamlessly done and kind of done in a little bit of a poppy idiom so that we don't even notice just how complicated the score is.
Yeah, I was even surprised to learn that Cool, which seems like a pretty, you know, you just sort of toss it off, at least that's what it's supposed to sound like.
Exactly.
It actually has, it's written in 12-tone, so it's just really complex.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on underneath
surfacey
jazz.
There's a 12-tone fugal subject, and then there's an entire fugue. You know, while everybody's sort of bopping along. Yeah, there's a fugue, which is, again, one of the most sophisticated musical forms there is. I mean, the other thing is, like, he does things that you just don't see in other Broadway musicals, where there's, you know, like a single interval, like in, you know, the tritone with Maria, like it pops up all over the score as a unifying element. Like, you just, that kind of like motivic cues, you see that in like Wagnerian opera,
right?
You know,
yeah.
You don't see that in musical theater. He's a genius, and this is his genius work.
So, what are some of the challenges for you as a conductor to kind of keep this, you know, hold this thing together?
Oh yeah, well, they are many, to be honest. I mean, the good news is, you know, for those of us who've grown up with it, you know, we know it intuitively. You know, it's something we know and love. But again, all these, you know, all these complexities that I've been discussing, it goes doubly for the conductor too. And the other thing is, in the concert version, you don't get a break.
Oh, right.
Because, you know, the book is pretty thin in the musical, but it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically narrowed it down to almost just the bare essentials of the book in this version. So you are up and you are conducting for, you know, for 90 minutes. And unfortunately, it's a joyous score to conduct. But yeah, you're working a lot.
Well, since you're basically learning it, you know, from the inside now, rather than just, you know, a concert goer or somebody rewatching the film, are there things that you've discovered that you didn't know about how it's put together?
I mean, yeah, again, the motivic unity that I was talking about, that the way it just things like that pop up all over the score, from the Maria to da-dum, ba-da-dum to da-da-dum, that it's just the way it holds together as a work, it's stunning, I have to say. Like, again, those are the kinds of things you look for when you're studying, like, really serious symphonies.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Not when you're studying a Broadway score. And yet it's all of that, you know? And so, yeah, they're constant revelations in the score, which is great.
Oh, it's going to be remarkable. And Jonathan, thank you so much for spending some time to talk about it, because we're all really excited about it.
Thank you, Kate. It's always a pleasure to come and chat with you.